Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Row Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Before we get into our topic today, we just wanted to mention that Eric and I will be conducting a Compassionate Boldness Symposium at Shadow Mountain Church this Saturday. And that's at 9324 Holly Park Road in West Jordan from 9 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. And we certainly hope that you will come out. There is no tuition for this presentation. There will be a love offering that is taken. But we do hope that we can see you. And by all means, come up, introduce yourself. We'd love to meet you. We are continuing our talk on a recent trip that Eric and I took to the country of Turkey and to Israel, talking about some of the sites that we saw that verify many of the place names that we read about in our Bibles. And one thing that struck us both, since we've dedicated our lives to studying Mormonism, is the fact that we have so much evidence showing that our Bible talks about real people and real events, as opposed to the Mormon people and the Book of Mormon, who really have nothing. They have nothing. If you were to take a Book of Mormon lands tour, you have no guarantee that you're actually going to see the actual places that are mentioned in the Book of Mormon, because for one thing, they don't even know where they are, and there's actually three theories about where the Nephite people could have possibly lived. Now, you might think that Thomas Monson, the president of the Mormon Church, could solve this dilemma, but he chooses not to. Why does he choose not to? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons. One, of course, being that nobody really knows where these people are because there's no evidence to support it. But also, there's political ramifications involved. If Thomas Monson was to choose one of the three theories for being the place where the Book of Mormon people were located, he would certainly enrage all those who don't hold to that theory.
But isn't truth more important than making people mad?
You would think so. You would think so. That's why Christians are so stubbornly troublesome, is because we would much rather proclaim what is true regardless of what the fallout could be. That does tend to get us in trouble. There's no doubt about that. But let's talk about what we saw. Now, what we did, we didn't just go to Israel. We went to Turkey. And a lot of Christians, Eric, I don't think realize how much Christian history is found in the country of Turkey.
It's amazing.
I mean, this is where we find Galatia, this is where we find Ephesus, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, is we were in the city of Ephesus, the ancient city of Ephesus. This is where it's believed that John spent several years of his life there, and also Paul, the Apostle Paul, spent, 2 years, we know of, from Acts chapter 19, preaching the gospel in the city of Ephesus. It has a lot of history, and this has been excavated. It's when you look at Ephesus, and you look at some of the other digs that they've done, Ephesus has got to be the cream of the crop.
Well, I mean, when you think about how long they've been looking at it since the 1860s, just the idea that so much importance is there. This is the most excavated city in the entire country of Turkey, and more than 3.5 million visitors a year come off the cruise ships, a lot of them coming off cruise ships, paying their entrance fees, and so it is a moneymaker as well. But it's a moneymaker for a good reason. It's impressive what you find there. I think, and I've been to Greece, and certainly I've been to Israel, and I'm going to say, inch for inch, pound for pound, I'm going to say Ephesus is probably the best site you could ever visit as far as understanding what an ancient city looked like.
Well, when we look at Acts chapter 19, it talks about when Paul went to Ephesus, and it says in verse 8, and he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way, and way is capitalized because that's what Christians were known as in the early years, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek. Now, from verse 8, down to what I read in verse 10. The synagogue has not been found. Now, our guide seemed to think that they kind of know where it is, but it hasn't been excavated yet.
Which is puzzling to me.
Yeah, it does seem puzzling. But when it talks about how Paul reasoned daily in the hall of Tyrannus, now they don't know for sure exactly where the specific hall was located, but this person, Tyrannus, is not such a mystery, is it?
No, I mean, they found an inscription near Celsus Library, and while many would doubt that that's where it was located, there definitely was a Tyrannus last name in the city of Ephesus. So we have evidence that this is not just a made-up name. This is actually with historical background.
Now, there's something that needs to be brought out at this time. One thing about Luke is he wrote very well. He wrote in very, very good Greek, from what I understand.
Yeah, sure he did.
And also, he's very meticulous about details. Now, normally, if you're trying to pull a ruse, you're trying not to give as many details as possible. Mm-hmm. You want to keep it very vague. But yet, he gives us so many of these details that you would wonder, well, boy, if these places really existed, someday, if they're going to do excavations, you would think that something's going to pop up to really prove this. But when you go on in Acts chapter 19, it talks about a riot that took place in Ephesus. And this riot stems back to a man by the name of Demetrius. If you look at 19 verse 24, it says, "For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, 'Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth. Here, that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, this Paul,
yeah,
has persuaded and turned away a great many people, saying that gods made with hands are not gods.'" Now, this shows that Paul's fame had preceded him. They knew about this guy. They knew he was a trouble to their business.
Well, in the previous verse that you had read, it said during those 2 years, and I mean, being precise, he says all the Jews and the Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Can you imagine that? I mean, there's a lot of people that live in this area.
And a lot of people that go through that area.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, all of them had heard it. And so this was hurting business for Diana, for Artemis, the fertility goddess, the silversmith, whose job was to make, well, we saw a lot of vendors out there in Ephesus and other places like that. Can you imagine taking away their business? He didn't like it one bit whatsoever.
Well,
but
Demetrius has a problem with this because he sees Paul's preaching is going to cramp his style and cramp his business.
Sure.
And it says, and he goes on, "And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into dispute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be deposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship." Well, they've actually found the temple of Artemis, of the goddess Artemis, that Luke is referring to here.
Yeah.
They found it in 1869. And then it goes on, though, it says in verse 28, "When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, 'Great is Artemis of the Ephesians.' So the city was filled with the confusion, and then they rushed together into the theater." We've been in that theater. In fact, you gave a devotion there.
I gave a devotional.
At the bottom portion of the theater, there is a section there that is the original seats that were there. Because you got to understand, folks, a lot of this stuff being so old, they've had to reconstruct a lot of this. Turkey is known for having a lot of earthquakes, and a lot of the pillars and a lot of the buildings were just knocked down by these natural disasters. But we were sitting in the bottom portion of the theater that is considered to be original. And this is the same theater that Luke is describing here. They rushed together into the theater, and they were dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among them, would not let him. Well, for good reason, because they were pretty ticked off at what Paul had to say. But it was here that you find them crying out for the space of 2 hours. They cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians."
And I tried to bring that out. Yeah, my devotional, I tried to, you know, three or four times. "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Can you imagine in that theater where we were sitting, that very theater, that's what they were screaming and yelling, because they had been riled up by Demetrius and the others who were in favor of Artemis.
Well, this is what was so fascinating to me, is there was a Christian influence in there, because we saw that, wasn't on some of the, on the lintel, on the lintel posts of the doors, they had crosses engraved into them. And so there was definitely a Christian influence. That's the, from the preaching of Paul, obviously Christians did have a real part in the lifestyle of Ephesus afterwards, probably for several years. Now, much of this was destroyed when? In the 3rd century?
Yeah, in the mid-200s.
Yeah, so unfortunately, a lot of this stuff was destroyed, but they are, you know, going in there, and they're reconstructing a lot of these places. And it was just amazing to me at how much effort had gone into this. But like you say, millions of people go visit it every year.
No, you mentioned, you know, as far as Ephesus being important, I think Colossae is pretty important too. We mentioned it in yesterday's broadcast, but here Colossae hasn't even been touched and the work that can be done. But when you see what Ephesus is all about and what potentially lies underneath these tells, there's more to be found. We haven't even found 10% of what is available out there. And I think there's much more that we're going to be finding in the next years that's going to help support our faith. And I'm not saying that archaeology proves the Bible to be true.
I'm not saying that.
But it gives historical reasons for why we believe the way we do. This is not just a fairy tale of made-up stories.
I often tell people, you cannot prove the spiritual message of the Bible by archaeology. But I know in my own personal life, it was the archaeological finds, the actual historicity of the Bible, that caused me to give a listen to what my Christian friends at the time were trying to tell me. And I really did hold to the position that if you could not demonstrate that this book is talking about real people and real events, I don't want to hear about the spiritual message. But unfortunately, when it comes to the Book of Mormon, you have to skip that first portion and go right to the spiritual message and pray about it, get a feeling about a book that really has no archaeological or historical veracity.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. This Saturday, March 23rd, a Compassionate Boldness Symposium will be taking place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah, beginning at 9 a.m. Topics include the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will lay out the teachings of Mormonism and show the differences with biblical Christianity. This four-hour event is free and open to the public, so plan to join us this Saturday at Shadow Mountain Church, located just off Old Bingham Highway at 9324 South and 5600 West in West Jordan. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry.